Hi, so I'm a liar and I recorded this in November with Devin and we are finishing up mixing this. This is now the 30th. But I wanted to just wish you all a happy new year. And we here at Lacking Any Respect love to keep you entertained. And if you want to help keep this podcast going, you can actually hit up my personal Patreon, which is patreon.com/fuzzyproxy. And then just donate. I put a lot of effort into doing all the work that I do between my music and my podcasting work. And I just, I work a full-time job and a little bit extra helps out with the work that I don't get paid for. Thanks a bunch and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Lacking Any Respect. I'm Devin.
And I'm Adrian.
And we're both idiots and we're both kind of tired, so if we sound a little, like, droopy, that's why.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get this episode up, like, legitimately either tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, Lordy.
From when we're recording this. That's not going to be that hard, because we're good at this.
But you say that, but...
I'm also a wizard, but, well, mostly a witch, but definitely also a wizard.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk about Real Life.
Real Life was a show that kind of hit everyone by surprise because all of it was released on streaming services at once.
Yeah. It was released on Crunchyroll all at once in the summer of 2016, so it was like early July.
July 2nd.
And it proceeded to air on Japanese TV at the same pace that it normally would. And then I think this also got a simuldub by Funimation.
I don't think it was simuldub, but it did come out pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah. And I'm just realizing I misspelled Crunchyroll in the question form, and I'm going to leave this mistake for future audiences. But
did you type Crunchyroll or something? Did you forget?
I mixed up the I spelled it C-R-U-C-N-H. Crunch.
you went well.
I can't even fucking pronounce it. But anyway, so Real Life it was a sci-fi slice of life drama comedy thing from TMS Entertainment and directed by Tomoko Osaka. It's based on a manga.
Yeah. I just want to say that the sci-fi is mostly a vehicle for the conceit of the show more than like a serious piece of setting detail.
Oh yeah. It's very much light sci-fi in the same way that say like I'd say Haruhi Suzumiya is light sci-fi.
Yeah. You know, it's less important that you focus on what this means for the world than what it means for the characters.
Focus on what it means. Well, it's like what it means for the characters and the world that they live in rather than focusing on the why. Why is this happening? Like, don't worry about it. So Devin, why don't you run down the premise?
The premise is a 27-year-old man who has lost his job and been a neat for a while, but who has also put on airs of being a working salaryman to his friends, is kind of offered this last-ditch attempt offer to be part of the Real Life program, where he's given a pill that turns him into or turns his appearance back to when he was 17 so that he can go to school and live his life as a student again as part of this Real Life program meant to reintegrate folks who have fallen out of society back into being helpful and working members of society. this ends up being like the intro to the show is just like a lot of secondhand embarrassment for me, specifically because I have in the past I flunked a year, so I had to go, and it was at an online school, so I had to go back to my like local school, being super awkward about the fact that I was back in a place that I was unfamiliar with and technically supposed to be in, but it was just kind of weird. And he does a lot of things wrong in the first episodes, and
oh yeah,
but the whole thing is an exercise in getting him to like realize, for him specifically, that just because the adult world works a certain way doesn't mean that he can't fully express himself.
Right. Also, I think an important thing to note that is like a, I'd say, monumental to the premise is that he's not necessarily a neet by choice. He's been actively trying to find employment after quitting a job that he had lined up for him after grad school after only 3 months due to events that eventually get revealed in the plot. But he's been interviewing, and he works part-time at a convenience store, but otherwise still gets sent money from his parents. And
the reason it's a last chance offer for him is because his mom cuts off his lifeline. Yeah. But the offer comes with a full year of all expenses paid for food and rent and everything. So basically, if he goes through with this, he's got a free year of going on, and he might even have a job at the end, which is how they pitch it.
Yeah, they offer a referral because he didn't have a positive referral from his past company, which when trying to get a job, no matter what, having a positive referral is very important.
They do say, like, they're not just going to refer him. They might have a job for him with them specifically.
Oh, right. Yeah. I always was just, like, based off of another person framing the referral thing. Yeah, yeah. That was probably a spoiler. But...
It's a good show. It does have... So, basically, he gets sent back to high school. And he integrates himself pretty handily into the class, even though he does so by being the biggest dunce. Because it turns out that the high school he's been sent to is way above the academic level that he went to in high school. And they make a note of that. One of the characters who's watching over him makes a note of that. But he's still adapting fairly well to all the tests and stuff. So, like, there's... He could, with some struggle, have made it in this school back when he was actually in school.
He could have, yeah. And it's specifically because it is a high school that also functions as a college prep school, because there is an associated university with this high school that most of these students go to. Also, yeah, specifically, they drop him in third year of Japanese high school, which is the final year of Japanese high school.
Yeah. So it's essentially an escalator school is the proper term for when they're basically like, if you get in here, you can basically just take the escalator up to different levels of education. But he gets dropped in here in the third year. And the final year of everyone's high school experience is always the most turbulent. So they feel like it's fitting to put him in this turbulent time for all these teenagers and get him really embroiled in all their ongoing drama. And it makes for good drama and good anime. It makes
for shockingly very, very good drama. And coming into this, I did not have... Like, I want to say it wasn't, like, a negative perception of the show. It was just, like, I had the idea that this show would probably end up being high school nostalgia. And it's very much not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's treating its characters like human beings rather than, oh, gee, like, these are just some precious high school moments figurines. Like, there's plenty of these shows out there. In fact, that's most anime set in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But these are dealing with people who are coming to grips with tough situations for emotional maturity. Coping with various levels of friendships and rivalries that may or may not be reciprocated, dealing with the prospects of the future, how to interact with other people, and why that may be important to succeeding in the corporate world.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, I think the most concise way to put it would be, it's very much more so than a lot of things that are about this time in someone's life, it's very much about a bunch of people on the cusp of adulthood.
Yeah,
like, it really actually feels like that, which is refreshing.
It also
mostly comes across that way because it is an older character being put in that situation and being able to be aware of that. Whereas,
right,
if it was just about high school kids, they wouldn't be aware of that, and they'd just be like, oh, this is the last thing. Like, if fucking what's-his-face Kazu and Reina were just, like, the centerpieces of a drama, it would just kind of be normal, and it wouldn't be very interesting.
It wouldn't be, and the fact that they have somebody who has this extra 10 years of emotional maturity on them, just giving them basically what amounts to sage advice that he then also takes to reflect on his own past actions and start to change for himself. That pushed in the right direction for emotional maturity. It's not like they all change overnight. It's shown through one of the characters that it is a gradual process. It's mm-hmm. being very realistic while still having that, like, sometimes goofy anime framing in a way that makes it really charming.
Yeah, like, this conceit is very anime, but also this is one of the better, like, dramas about high school that I feel I've seen, period.
Same. I actually, like, this was one of those shows that when I was first reading about it last summer on the predictions list, I was like, this seems like whatever, maybe it'll be like an opportunity to like bask in high school nostalgia and get a creepy romance going. But then it's like, after watching it just this past weekend in two sittings, I was like, okay, this is fucking phenomenal. This is as we said before, shockingly mature. This is just it avoids the pratfalls it could have gone for.
Yeah, and I watched it apropos of nothing but seeing that for some reason this show had every single episode out on Crunchyroll at the outset of the season. I was just like, I'll download this and then go see what the synopsis is about. And I read the synopsis and I was just like, huh, this is going to be all right. And then I watched the entire thing in one go.
Because it's a very bingeable show.
And then, like, last week, I did it again, because that's the only way I can really consume this. Like, I watched it subbed once, I watched it dubbed once, and then I rewatched it dubbed last week. All of which, all in one sitting, because it's just that kind of show for me. And the problem with this is, like, it came out all at once, so there wasn't kind of the weekly rebound to get people talking about it every week, and the people who, right, I did see talk about it did enjoy it, but it just didn't get that repeat discussion, so I haven't heard many people talk about it.
Right, and it's here's where I feel like this show kind of, at least in terms of discussion zeitgeist, it's all based off of, like, where it floundered is just based off of where the episode's dumped. Because Crunchyroll is very, very highly proliferated among specifically anime streaming platforms. It is the most widely used. It passed, like, a gigantic milestone this year in terms of registered paid subscribers. But it still pales in comparison to sources of other shows, like, say, Netflix, where, like, yes, I am going to be, like, throwing down the Netflix model gauntlet on this, because this is exactly, like, this was Crunchyroll's Netflix model show, except it got everything right in terms of, oh, this has a very, like, neat premise that is shockingly downable in just, like, very huge chunks. Why don't we drop it all at once? Mostly because this was, I think, produced in a different way than most animation, because before the season begins, the show's usually not done.
Mm-hmm. It's usually, like, an ongoing process.
Yeah. But TMS being TMS, I'll say to the listeners, just fucking look up TMS if you don't know them. They're kind of giants.
Yeah, they, I'm looking at their stuff. They did Bakuman, they did Orange, they do Detective Conan. Holy shit, Detective Magic Kaito.
Fucking Conan.
Yeah, they did Sonic X. That was a surprising thing to just scroll down and see. But yeah, they have the means to just do that. Like, the people will also point to KyoAni, who does stuff seasons ahead of when it needs to be done. And then has the director take vacations because, like, okay, I'm done.
Because of the intensive work. Like, have you, like, just in terms of, like, a small tangent on KyoAni, did you see that cut from fucking Violet Evergarden?
No. Okay. You know me and KyoAni. I don't care.
I know, but... Oh, wait, I forgot. You also have RTs turned off on Twitter. But, yeah. The thing is, there was just this, like, really amazing-looking cut from Violet Evergarden, because they showed the first episode premiere of that at AX this year, and then I think they also showed it again at a recent event. There was one cut in Violet Evergarden that is, I swear, only like 10 or 15 seconds that took a fucking month to animate because of all the intricate moving details in it, and it is gorgeous. I would not be surprised if, like, it becomes a similar situation where it just gets dumped all at once. Because guess what? It's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But, this actually is, like, bringing, one of the few questions we have for this podcast to light, which was, I might as well ask it, like, do you feel like the release structure worked in its favor?
I don't, like, well, I think the release structure didn't work in getting the word out about it, because, like I said, it lacked that repeat discussion, like, oh, it's Friday, I'm gonna watch ReLife, oh, this episode was really good too, I can't wait to see where they're going with this. But it does, I'm always kind of the opinion that largely shows are gonna be structured the way they're going to be viewed after the fact, and that's probably for the best. And ReLife, definitely, just having all of it at once was definitely the less frustrating option, because I would have fucking pulled my hair out if I had to wait after some of those episodes.
I would have too. And I do agree with you here. I don't think that the release model honestly worked in its favor, like you said, in terms of getting the word out. But even just a casual discussion of how it managed to get dropped was, it's worth discussing in and of itself. And I hope that more shows do it in the future. And I just, I wish that it didn't mean that people didn't give this one a chance at all. Because there was a lot of suspicion behind it as soon as it dropped all at once. Like, uh-oh, this better not be very good. But...
Yeah, and I think since July 2nd of 2016, I've been saying, now ReLife is actually really good, and more people should watch it. And it took Adrian this long to do that.
It did. I fully admit it. It's been a long, long year of me delaying watching things. I say with prediction for later in the podcast.
Anyway, at least you're out of the you're ready for real life Kankotsuhin.
I am. So, well, like, we can't really talk too much, I guess, about this show without spoiling a shit ton of details about it.
We really can't, and I know that not enough people have watched it, so, like, if the concept of this dude going back to high school and knowing that there's not going to be any skeezy... Like, there's an entire episode dedicated to them making sure he's not going to get skeezy with a 17-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, there's a measure in place to not get skeevy with 17-year-olds.
Yeah. And so, like, if that concept interests you and you trust either of us at all with, like, what we think is good drama, I would recommend going to watch this.
Yeah.
Just binge it. It's surprisingly easy to binge, and it's very cute, and I really like all of the characters.
Yeah. I only have a few small complaints about the show, but they're all aesthetic. Namely, that the animation's not great. But that's, like, a small price to pay for a show that is very, very, like, easy to sit down, watch, and root for all these characters. And there's something I do want to make clear here as well. There's this very popular format of show / like novel where a dude goes around solving girls' problems, and I want to make it clear, this is not that. This is very much not that. This is not like Monogats with a normal coat of paint.
Yeah, no, this is very much, this dude tries to work through his own problems and in talking to himself out loud helps other people in the process.
Yeah, and it's very much not framing these women characters as weak. Like, there's also a pretty even split of characters here too.
Yeah, like a lot of the character, like, they're all teens. They're all awkward, vulnerable teens that just need to be kind of made sure they don't, like, seriously screw up their relationships, but they work things out, and it's nice.
Yeah. Like, genuine. It's genuine is the best way to describe it. And if genuine drama suits your needs, like, this isn't going to be, like, explosive melodrama. There are some explosive scenes, of course, because, you know, anime.
Yeah. But
those moments are well earned.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to give the listeners the same warning that I'm going to give that I gave Adrian. It's not going to blindside you, but because they do handle it with a significant amount of gravitas and foreshadowing, but there is a content warning I would advise for suicide related to Arata's trauma that led to him being in need. So that might be kind of a spoiler, but also I'd rather people not get their anxieties flared up for serious shit like that.
Oh yeah, even when you see it coming, like, you know that it's coming, it still hits you like a Mack truck.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a very simple show, and the entire, like, basically the entire soundtrack is variations on piano and some synth.
Okay,
but, like, it uses it very well.
It uses its music very well. I will say that there is, like, it's the size of the score that is what, like, one of my minor gripes with it. That one piano theme.
Yeah.
That you hear over and over again. Ba 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 ba.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with, like, yeah, they basically have, like, two different piano themes for, like, kind of unsettled as a mood, and you notice them.
And it sometimes, like, shifts between the two in the same scene.
Yep.
It's a minor nitpick, though. Like, all my nitpicks with the show are very minor, because I can deal with, like, not a varied score as long as it's used well, and I can deal with not very technically great animation if the direction is good, and the direction here is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some very, like, nice shots in this show in terms of just, like, oh, yeah, that's, like... And they mostly deal with, like, the flashbacks.
Yeah.
I will say that entire flashback episode that happens is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I would definitely say that if you trust our opinions on dramatic writing, check this out. It's worth giving a shot. And also, you'll have a bit more of it coming in, like, what, March?
Yeah, I think it's March. Come on. I hit back, goddammit. No, I didn't.
It's okay.
Yeah, it says March. It'll be a 4-episode special series called The Final Arc. Yeah. Apparently the manga is still ongoing, but I still feel like it's going to be an adequate follow-up that, like, honestly, I would just like a second full season closing out his entire second term in his third year, but
oh, yeah.
I also know that I would cry my fucking face off because, oh no, graduation, more school feelings.
School feelings?
Also, yeah. the PV has fucking Chizuru in glasses, and it makes me happy. God damn it.
Chizuru is very, very good.
All the characters are really, really good.
They
like,
are. I didn't
just
want to
hug them all. Tiny yeah, children.
I didn't even expect to like anybody associated with like the volleyball plot, but I did.
Yeah.
I wanted to give the athlete girl a hug.
Yeah.
But
I also appreciate that there's like there is a couple but that develops over the course of things, but also there's just like what's her face, the volleyball girl whose name I can't remember right now, Hanaka,
yeah.
Who just has two good guy friends who take care of her and make sure she's doing all right. And it's not like a romantic thing or anything. They're like, now they're just really fucking good friends.
They are.
That's cool.
They are good childhood friends. Also, as soon as I remembered Hanako's name, I almost called her Honkers immediately.
God damn it.
Because that's what Love Live does to you, friends. Never, never engage with Love Live. Not even once. Oh,
also, we talked about this. Definitely not on an episode, but when we were doing Final Fantasy 14 stuff, the endings for this show are all anime endings from fucking a decade ago.
They're all songs from 10 years ago, and it's fucking amazing.
They're all anime songs from 10 years ago being played on mini discs on the fucking protagonist's stereo system.
I love
it. It's amazing.
Like, where else are you gonna hear like what is it? Lark and Seal, or was it friggin'
Lark and
Agent
Seal
Kung Fu?
Is in here.
Was Agent Kung Fu Generation in here?
No, but Porno Graffiti was.
Porno Graffiti was, and fucking TM Revolution's like massive
Hot
hit
Limit.
Hot Limit. Which you will know Hot Limit if you sat around like animutation parts of the internet in the early 2000s.
God.
Look. Look, listen. I never said that my internet upbringing was good.
Yeah.
We had a fucking YTMND meme thing as soon like playing in this house as soon as I woke up this morning.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. I'm sorry.
Like, it's okay.
For you.
It's okay.
Okay, here's a little recommendation, because I like seeing what people think are related to their favorite anime on my anime list. Recommendations.
Oh my god.
Welcome to the NHK. Erased. Oh my god. My teen rom-com Snafu. Kimi ni Todoke. Kokoro Connect. Sakura So and Orange. And MMO addict. Fucking this recommendation thing is bullshit.
Recommendations can occasionally be very bullshit.
They're always bullshit on my anime list.
On my anime list, yes. Although, what's weird is, like, just as a personal thing, I think the reason why I try to watch so much is so I can be the person to give recommendations to people based off of what they like.
Yeah.
I like to be a curator. And then seeing bad curation is one of those things that's just so insanely funny to me.
Yeah.
If you like Big Order, you'll love Kimi ni Todokai.
I think the funniest thing I ever saw was, like, some hardcore hentai is being connected to some, like, plain-ass fluffy nonsense anime. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was some real shit.
If you like Aurora Rhythm Pretty Cure, then you'll love Manyu Hikencho.
I'm not deep enough to get that reference.
Okay, Manyu Hikencho is a ecchi title where it's all about ninja titty ladies, right? And the main conceit is that these titty ladies are trying to stop people from cutting off titties.
A good cause, but not one I'd send a titty ninja squad out for.
Titty ninjas. So, we have one other actual question, because one of these questions isn't a fucking question. Please stop sending us these. But we kind of, like, covered it. So, this is from Dura, a friend of the show. They ask, I kind of wound up giving Real Life a hard pass, assuming it was going to wind up being, like, high school nostalgia porn. You all seem to enjoy it. I'm sure you'll have gone over why by the time you're answering questions. What are some initial misgivings / misconceptions, if any, you had about the show that might have given you pause over watching it? Did it live up to expectations? And if not, how do you think it could have done better?
Okay, this is... I didn't really have any misgivings because I was kind of in it for, like, okay, this is kind of a neat conceit once I had already, like, downloaded it to watch en masse. So I was kind of, like, in for the ride, and I was just kind of looking for, like, rom-com stuff, and it was kind of rom-com-y. It's more drama than anything.
The rom-com doesn't hit in until, like, what, episode 12, 13?
Yeah, and it's not with the people you expected from the start of the show.
Yeah, and then it's not what you expect, but that's why it's much cuter.
Yeah.
And also that romance subtly develops over the course of the show, which is another nice touch I liked. And it was, like, something I noticed probably specifically because I marathoned it.
Yeah. It's, like, this is a show that really does lend itself to being watched in one go. But it's definitely not this, like, it's not going to escape the anime thing of, like, oh, this is a show I've never fucking heard of. Why is it all out today? That sounds fishy as hell. It's just not going to escape that.
Yeah. And I had the misgivings that I previously brought up, which were similar to Dura's, which were this is going to be nostalgia porn, and also probably going to cause, like, a weird May-December romance thing. But it didn't, which is great. And it wasn't high school nostalgia porn. It was pretty dang good at, like, capturing, no, high school is stressful.
Yeah, it's stressful, like, basically, like, yeah, I was just like, oh, is he gonna be some super smarty who ends up being talk of the class because he comes in out of nowhere and sweeps all the tests and, like, oh, I'm the best now. But, like, no, he didn't live up to this school in the first place, and he's just kind of getting thrown in. And the fact that he can adapt to that and take that and roll with that punch is what makes him a charming character.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, also the episode where they go over why he was selected is just, like, he's in a shitty place in life.
Very. Like,
he is in an awful place, but he still, like, he gives what job he can get his all, and he gives all the people he interacts with as a retail worker his all.
And he gives a shit.
He gives a shit. And, like, there's this entire, like, at the end of the show, there's, like, this kind of, like, dialogue. It would be a monologue, but he chats with on after from his basically his supervisor. There's this line that, like, this man inspires change around him, and he inspires change in himself by doing that. And it's just like, yes, this is a good character, and it's not just like some weird skeezy dude turning into a 17-year-old so he can be skeezy. He genuinely wants to connect with the people that he's connecting with, and he feels sad that he is going to be a phantom, as they put it, because once that year he's spending is over, he's out. They're not going to remember him. So he wants to make the most of that while he has the opportunity, and the fucking... one of the last lines Chizuru has is the fireworks go off and fade away, but the memories stay bright. I fucking love it.
It's such a good thing, because it's so fucking good, and that line hits hard for reasons that, like, don't actually get revealed until later in the plot. So yeah. Just watch this show. Do it.
Watch this show.
Watch it.
Even if you don't trust my taste in anime, trust Adrian's. Because, like, I can understand not trusting. Like, have you seen the shit I watch? Have you seen the shit I'm watching?
Look, I haven't seen the shit you're watching.
That's good.
We should talk about the shit we're watching.
Lordy me, should we ever? No, the answer is no.
So. To put this into context, listeners, I have been very, very busy these past few months, which is why episodes have been going up late. But also, that's why I haven't been watching too much anime lately. So, I watched a grand total of, drumroll please, 18 shows. Jesus. For the first 2 weeks of the season. I immediately fell behind on all of them except for Classical Lloyd 2, because that's what I watch on date nights. So, this past weekend, I watched 32 episodes of anime. And that was 13 episodes of Real Life. And then, what else we're going to talk about?
Well, I don't think you've caught up on Yokai Apartment. But that continues to be surprisingly good.
Unfortunately, I'm not caught up.
I'm really happy with how that show's been, like, super actually good. And no one else is talking about it.
I promise I will catch up on it.
I mean, as long as you finish watching it someday, I'm fine with it. Because, like, I just need someone... I need to know that somewhere out there, someone else knows that the show it exists and it's good.
Yeah.
Because dang, it's surprising.
I think there's only, like, one show that I'm currently caught up on that we overlap on this season, though.
Is it MMO Addict?
It is. Recovery of an MMO Junkie, or MMO Addict, or things of that nature.
It's so fucking cute. I hate everything that's not it when it's time to watch that show.
So, there's only one... one currently airing show on my Anime Planet page that is rated higher than MMO Junkie right now. And I'll talk about it later. But MMO Junkie is very, very solid. And it's also one of those shows that's, like, I went into it being like, oh, this will be, like, cute. And it ended up being adorable and maturely adorable.
And I want my dumb idiot... I fucking, they're older than me. I can't call them my idiot children, my idiot pseudo children. I want them to kiss the dumb idiots.
I want my dumb aunt and uncle to kiss. God, they don't know that they're so my aunt and uncle.
Fucking adorable.
Yet.
And I can't wait for Friday. And I can't wait to be done with my job that I now have on Friday that starts basically when this airs, so I can't watch it until I get home.
Ah.
There's only 2 episodes left. I hate that there are only 2 episodes left.
I'm going to see when exactly the show airs, so I can like take some time away from the con I'm going to this weekend to like.
It's fucking 8 a.m. my time. So 11 yours.
Okay. It would be 11 my time, but I'm going to be in Chicago, so it'll be 10 a.m. Which will
10
be
10 a.m.
Yeah, around the time that everybody else is like finally starting to wake up. So I'll be like, hey, make yourself some coffee. I'm going to watch some cartoons.
Yeah. God. Okay. So we definitely talked about this show before, but MMO Addict is MMO Junkie, whatever. It's very cute. It's very, very cute. I hate it.
It's like, it's very intensely relatable. It's just also extremely adorable. And all the characters are like, they're human in their, like, in their animeisms. It's very, wow, I'm going to compare it to Real Life. It's very.
Just like the fucking recommendations, you're going my anime list on me. Please stop. Well, save yourself.
I'm not going to be like, if you like Real Life, check out MMO Junkie. No, I'm going to be like, if
I would,
you like,
to be honest.
But yeah, it handles things like the way that adults would. These people aren't children. And it treats them not
still,
like children.
They can still be kind of immature and like blushy because everyone can.
Yeah.
And also, like, the scene where Lily's just like, please stop pressing the cry emote, and then it just cuts to Morioka just sitting there pounding the key while crying is the best thing in any fucking anime this season.
It is. It so fucking is. So I mentioned that there's one show on my anime planet that is like, the average rating for it is higher than MMO Junkie. It's the only thing that's currently airing that on my list that's higher. It's Magus Bride.
I don't have an opinion on that, and I won't have an opinion on that, like, contractually with the devil.
Yeah, like, contractually, major zeitgeist shows are the things you tend to avoid.
Yeah.
And I decided to catch up on...
Yeah, I just, like, it just makes people angry. I just don't.
I'm going to say that, like, I think the zeitgeist on this one is actually right for once. It's shockingly, like, just, it's nice. It's very FMA, I'd say, in terms of its overall, like, whenever it goes into a serious tone, it juxtaposes its more melancholy yet like, it's uplifting but in a melancholy way material with some excruciatingly dark material. And just its main character's conceit is one of recovery from I'll just outright say it, it's because we're going to talk about suicide ideations here. One girl's idea to kill herself and deciding she's worthless, and through a new outlet finds the defining characteristics of humanity, as well as learning to appreciate her own humanity, her own life, her own autonomy. And it does so using fantasy trappings, and uses a lot of very well-researched English and Celtic traditional fantasy terms. It's also immaculate. It's also beautiful. It's, Magus Bride is good.
And I have no opinion, just, like,
if
I said, contractually.
Yeah,
maybe
contractually
one day I'll
no
watch
opinion.
It and be like, okay, this is all right. But it will be well after everyone has forgotten that I have anime opinions.
It will be probably in like 2045.
or whenever someone pays me to. Reminder, you can pay me $35 and I will watch a 4-hour anime, 12 to 13 episodes.
If I set up a Patreon for this podcast, we should have that set for both of us. Like, both of us have tiers that people can purchase.
You're going to give me tiers if you do that.
That's the idea.
You're so mean.
I'm very mean. I'm sorry. I'm also going to be giving myself pain, because that also means that it's like, hey, here's the button to press if you want Adrian to watch the titty show.
Here's the button to press to make Adrian watch Symphogear seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Here's the button to press to make Adrian watch Hybrid Heart Ataraxia.
Oh, it still fucking slays me that my first girlfriend is a gal has an excerpt from that in the fucking, when they're working at the fucking maid cafe or whatever. God. And they were like, oh, the cosplay cafe is having like a literature girl day. We brought in all these books and it's like a bunch of smutty light novels. It's just like, oh. Oh. God. And then my favorite part was how every one of the girls started reading it or demanded someone else read it because they either wanted to mess with the main character or make the lead girl say something embarrassing and get embarrassed because they had a crush on her. So it was just chaos. I love anime and I also hate it. Fuck. Fucking what else are we watching this season?
So I'm going to immediately dunk on the perception that I have taste. Because I watched 7 episodes, like I caught up completely on Urahara over this weekend.
I have no opinion. I don't even know what that show is.
Well, be prepared to take my opinion and dunk it in the trash, because it is technically a magical girl show about, well, it's based off of a webcomic called Park Harajuku Crisis Team. It was run on Crunchyroll for a while. About 3 girls who run a fashion pop-up store called Park in Harajuku. When one day, there is this alien race called the Scoopers who invade Earth to steal its culture and creativity by mostly stealing landmarks or famous pieces of art. And they go to Harajuku because it is the fashion district. And these 3 girls are met with by, like, a girl who escaped the Scoopers after being sucked up by them in America. I forget her name because she sucks. And she has a mascot character, shrimp, around... like, sorry, it's a giant fried shrimp around her neck. And they give them magical girl powers to be able to fight these things. And it's mostly an excuse to have a show where it's like, here is our aesthetic. It is very pastel-colored and girly and pretty. The art direction in the show is fucking fantastic. It is pastel without hurting the eye. It is busy without feeling overwhelming. It knows how to pack a lot of, like, fantastic visual imagery into a frame. And it is especially great if you like that kind of fashion style. The voice acting in the show is like a mixed bag, but one of the characters comes off as supremely natural, and it's her first fucking role, and it's just like really nice to hear among like veterans who are trying their best to play an archetype, and she's just playing a normal girl, and it sounds great. The rest of the show is kind of like meh, because the animation looks like butt. It very much reads as this is a single animation student's project. The script very much reads the same way. A lot of these, the reason I mention these still shots is because a lot of the shots in the show are still shots with monologuing over them.
Oh, my favorite monogatari.
Yeah.
This show, Urahara-gatari.
Urahara-gatari. It's frustrating because, like, there is one point in the show where the very creative trademark members of Park are given the question, like, hey, you're like following a lot of fashion trends, right? Yeah. So aren't you effectively doing what the alien race here is doing and just like stealing ideas? And it brings up the idea of creation and both like the multifaceted ideas of like whether imitation is the highest form of flattery or if imitating art gets you started and on the path to creating your own art, or whether or not your art is just worthless in general because you copied something. It presents this idea without an answer to any of these questions. It presents like mostly the idea of we can pay attention to this argument later, keep creating.
Yeah.
And it's also in essence Urahara, because there's a plot twist in this show that is cop straight out of fucking Monica. It is Urahara admitting we are also a very generic product that is copying a lot of elements from other things, but isn't there beauty in that? Because there's so there's a lot of stuff in the show I really like,
and it just doesn't have like the means to convey it very well.
No, they don't. It's a very budget show.
Speaking of musing on creation, I finally finished Recreators. That's just some good shit.
Yeah. And
did you ever figure out if you finished watching that? Because I swear to God,
I didn't listen back to see if I said that I finished watching it on podcast, but I definitely finished watching it.
Okay. Because, like, I don't remember hearing from you in voice or Twitter form if you'd finished it. And I hadn't heard you talk about the end of it. Fucking good.
The ending of Recreators is super good. God.
I fucking died because of the whole a lie about a lie turns inside out thing. Ugh. But basically, Recreators, like I posted on Mastodon, follow me on Mastodon where I don't fucking post anything because...
Neither of us do.
To steal my own toot, Recreators ends on a note that says, to me, everyone who wishes to create has infinite possibilities in them, and nothing you can create is too absurd to not resonate with anyone.
I just tooted my own horn.
Stop it. But yeah, like, it's, I really agree with Recreators, like, positioning of fans as kind of, I wouldn't say like the arbiters, but definitely like these are the people you have to convince of like what your writing makes sense, and the way they work that into the story is really good, and Recreators is really good, and I watched the last like 6 episodes a week ago, and I already want to rewatch the entire thing.
I definitely want to give this show a rewatch. For those who are listening to us on SoundCloud, the amount that I actually really do dig Recreators, you'll notice that like in our spring wrap up episode, I was using stuff from the Recreator soundtrack to bring us in.
That is cool. I like that fucking soundtrack, and I need to download it.
Good old Hiroyuki Sawano.
I used to be kind of down on him, but that was just because I mostly knew him from Kill la Kill, and Kill la Kill is like, I don't fucking like that show, like in any way.
I know you don't like that show. That score is killer, though.
Yeah, like I like some tracks from it, but then like, I played Xenoblade X, and you can't not fucking have Hiroyuki Sawano grow on you. It's fucking infectious. I will never.
Oh yeah, he also did Attack on Titan.
Yeah, fuck Attack on Titan. Like the only track I remember from that is the one with Amy Blackschlager.
who also sang the song Layers on the Recreator soundtrack, which is the one I used in that episode.
Yeah, but like, I'm never gonna forget the fucking intro riff to fucking Black Tar from Xenoblade X. It'll haunt me until I die.
Yes. God, now you're making me want to play Xenoblade X, as in fucking finish Xenoblade X.
I had to commit to doing that in a week so that I could fucking move on with my life, and I still want to replay it.
God. So, Recreators is fantastic. I will say that, like, my favorite bits of it were always, like, how meta affects it. How it is, in essence, a meta commentary on how we consume media, and it is ultimately very positive.
Yeah, like it's very positive, but also, like, it's very recursive. Like, there's an entire arc that relies on the diegetic audience to accept what's going on. And also, the entire show revolves around the actual external audience accepting what's going on. And if it weren't aware of all that, it would just be awful.
It would be. If it was just like... I expected Recreators, like... Here's how jaded I am when it comes to anime, friends. When I first saw the premise for Recreators, I'm like, wow, this is either going to be the most otaku indulgent thing, or it's going to be the most dour girlish number thing.
Yeah, like, another Mastodon thing I said was, the show entirely hinges on the fact that the writers know that mashing together fantasy mech shonen, fantasy RPG, endless space war shonen, grimdark cyberpunk, dark fantasy, dating sims, magical girls, and urban fantasy is a really absurd thing to do. They fucking know that. And the show is about the fact that with love, passion, and practice, you can get the audience to accept your ridiculous bullshit no matter how wild it is. That's creating.
So, yeah. It does that, and you want to know what this seems to be like for me, the biggest commentary on, in terms of, like, a franchise that is directly commentating on in terms of its fan base and its fervor?
Hit me with it.
Fate.
Yeah.
It's very obviously, like, this is, like, even on a surface level, this is Rei Horoe, like, his take on Fate. Yeah. And it does, honestly, I like it more than, like, most other Fate things I've watched.
I just like Fate for all the bullshit lore and the cute art of Astolfo, basically. At this point,
I like it for Rider and Waver. But also, I just really like Fate Zero a lot. I really enjoy the concept of some of the things in, like, I really like the first half of Unlimited Blade Works TV. And
I'm weird because I like the whole of it, but
you'll probably dig the Heaven's Feel thing, because it is, like, the most indulgent thing, apparently.
I mean, it's three movies for a single arc.
It is, and it does the whole,
and it's done by fucking Ufotable, so, like, oh god. And
it does the combination Fate Zero, Shaft, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell thing of monologuing in place, where it would just be a block of text in the visual novel, and they add so much visual flair to it.
I mean, yeah, that's, like, the one way you can do it, especially with Heaven's Feel. The fucking route is, like, the joke was that it's, like, 80% Sakura feeding Shiro shit. So, like, it's not undue.
I want to see how they get around the fucking.
I mean, they've done that before.
They're going to turn her... I heard they were going to make her a vampire, which is analog for fucking. So they're still fucking. But...
Well, I mean, like, yeah, but vampires are acceptably...
They're acceptable horny.
Yeah.
But they're, like, vampires are acceptable horny on Maine.
No, they're not.
look, you can't stop me.
I just want to, like, in the original Dean Fate Stay Night TV, they made like a big deal of like, oh, you're going to go in her mind and then you fight fucking mana dragons or whatever to share your mana with Saber, and then they're just kind of like, oh, we have to do this thing, and then they in Unlimited Blade Works, the TV show, they were just like, okay, we're half naked, we're gonna do some stuff off screen, and it's not explicitly sex, it's just right, like, right. Okay, we need to mana transfer, like, god damn it.
You saw the tweet.
I did. But yeah, like, they'll get around it. I, like, there's no getting away all, around all the fucking worms, though. That shit's nasty.
Shit is gross. Shit is nasty. That was in fucking Fade Zero, even.
Yeah.
But, I'm gonna silence my phone for the rest of this because I made a bad joke on Twitter. So, of course, I'm gonna get immediately people yelling, no? But, yeah. Oh, God.
We got distracted by recreators. Sorry.
We got redistracted by recreators. And...
Oh, let me talk about... Yeah. I'm watching a show that you probably... Like, you keep saying that you fell asleep during the first episode of, but I still maintain that that was because it was, like, fucking ass o'clock at night. Yeah. And you were just sleepy. Just because.
Just because.
I like it. It's really bittersweet, and I like it. And by bittersweet, I mean, I can't say it on the air. I'll type it to you in Discord real quick, but I really like it. You can edit this out. This is going to take a second to type. Well, fuck it. If you're just going to edit it out anyway, I could just say it, huh? I'm dumb.
I will probably... I'd say, like, just type it in, because why not? I'm keeping this in the recording, by the way. Because this Fine. Is natural. This is necessary for flow. Clackety-clackety-click. And in the meantime, you should all enjoy the dulcet sounds of typing and... Look at, this is not an endorsement or advertisement, but read the Sakugaburu blog on Dynamic Chord while you wait.
I'm finding a way to phrase this properly so it comes across.
So, while Devin's typing, I'm just gonna say the next thing that I've been watching, because, just because. I've been also watching Land of the Lustrous, which is
there,
the first
there's
good
that
CG
fucking
anime.
There's that fucking end of the episode, the last episode that aired, clinch moment.
See, ba, 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 ba. Yo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It got there. I wasn't expecting it to get there before, like, episode 10, but it's got fucking 5 episodes left.
Yeah.
This is some fucking drama, and it's like, I think I've also described it to you as basically Anonatsu without the alien bullshit, and it's just the kind of so drab and dreary drama.
I like the drab and dreary drama part of Anonatsu, so...
Yeah. Meanwhile, I liked Lemon Senpai, who is this inexplicable MIB agent. They got everyone drunk for some reason because anime drama.
Because. Just because.
Uh-huh.
Who's writing Just Because, anyway?
I don't fucking know. I should check that.
Oh, wait, no. Wasn't it... Oh, no, the director did Girls in Panzer.
Was the...
Just Because, it is the original Japanese TV anime by
original
Kamoshida from the creator of Sakura Soul.
Fucking incredible, actually. That's,
and then
oh,
the
man.
Artist of Getsuyobi no Tawawa.
Oh shit, no, that's why, because the fucking the protagonist likes the girl who looks like the main girl from Tawawa. from Heavy on Mondays or Way Down on Mondays, however the fuck. It's a series.
Okay. Tawa Monday.
That's the one. Basically, if you don't know what that is, it's a series of Twitter comics that this artist who does fucking Sword Art Online Progressive, the manga, does, they do on Twitter every Monday, and it's about this, it's generally about a girl who has big boobs, and there's like five different actual characters, and it just kind of has text list comics about them in situations, and they're cute and funny and sometimes horny, which is like, that's why they fucking, she looks like the main girl from that. Jesus, I thought it was like me being like projecting some shit. God damn it.
Nope. Directly involved. So I will say that like I'm still going to catch up on this eventually because but I will say the reason I was hesitant in the first place on it was like, well, the creative staff hasn't done things I liked.
But, yeah, but also, like, I'm pretty sure Girls in Panzer was not, like, an original anime thing.
It wasn't, and neither was Sakura So.
Yeah, well, Sakura So is, like, the original creator, not just, like, some guy true. On it.
I mean, like, that's also the case of what happened with Girlish Number, because it was, the author of Snafu doing an anime original writing job.
Yeah. Which is fucking oof. Also, the He's too director wordy
for that.
I mean, yeah. But also the director didn't do like the entire thing of Girls in Panzer, just storyboards and episode directors.
Okay.
For three episodes.
Yeah.
This is his first big thing. Yeah.
It's his first big thing. And also, I want to support newbie directors. That's also why I'm watching Urahara.
Yeah.
Also, a detail I forgot to mention about Urahara earlier. Like, 80 or 90% of the creative staff is all women.
Which is cool.
Yeah. It's cool. I started talking about it, but I'm also watching Land of the Lustrous, which is the first good CG anime. In terms of, it's the first anime I've seen that looks better than it would because it's in CG.
Yes. Anime Steven Universe.
Yeah, Anime Steven Universe. Non-binary space rocks, folks. But seriously, the way that you have camera freedom when moving in 3D and how well it captures panning shots versus traditional 2D animation, as well as the uncanny valley effect that makes you realize these are humanoid-like characters, but they are fully not human. It adds to the effect of the overall story, which is fantasy. It is a sci-fi fantasy mystery world building.
Hmm.
The world building is part of the mystery, because it's actually the entire mystery, because the main character, Phospholite, she has like no use in combat because there's, you know, this other alien race that wants to take these gems because they are shiny. So the gems develop methods to fight back. But Phospholite has like a rating of a 3 out of 10 on the Mohs scale. So it's very, very fragile. Mm-hmm. And Phospholite is unable to really do much in combat. They also annoy everybody around them. They're all very femme-coded, but they are all non-binary. They are tasked with making an encyclopedia of everything around them. And that includes the history of the gem race, the history of the world itself, biology, the construction of these gems, their specific fighting abilities, and they start to develop like more of the relationships with the core group of gems, but in particular one who is an outcast by the name of Cinnabar, who is they kind of have this glob of poison constantly around them that melts their surroundings, but they can manipulate this glob of poison at their will to use in combat. But as a result of them basically hurting everything around them, it drives them away and isolates them from the other gem folk. So this is the first of the great mysteries. What is Cinnabar's place in this? What brought Cinnabar to all this? It's a neat show. Also, there's an episode where Phospholite, you know, gets eaten by a giant snail. And then they have to figure out how to put them back together.
Okay.
Because these gems don't die when they break. But if they completely, like, dissolve, then they break. Yeah. Then they die for real. They can be put back together.
Yeah.
It's a weird show.
Don't worry. Don't worry. If you get bored, as long as you're in multiple pieces and not a goo, you're fine.
Exactly. Exactly. But what else are you watching, Devin?
I'm okay. I'm watching two things that I'm pretty sure you're not going to be interested in, and one you probably are. Let's start with the one you are. Umaru Chan R is good.
That's the only one I've yet to start.
God damn it. It's really good. And it's really cute. And there's an episode where fucking Taihei gets really genuinely angry. And it's just like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, word.
But yeah, like, it's just more of Umaru. That's good. Umaru herself makes more friends. She meets and befriends Alex. And, then there's a fucking, it's just really good. I can't, like, list off all the episodes, because we've gone over this before. Comedy isn't really good to just kind of talk about, because then you ruin it.
Right.
But then I'm also watching, All You Need Is a Little Sister.
Which, yeah, I'm very not interested in that.
Yeah, it's... So, this show is very dumb. So, the protagonist is has a little sister complex. He also has a little brother who, like, the entire premise of this show has thrown suspicion on that gender identifying. So... it's not surprising that the previous episode, or the episode before that, like, there's this character who is obsessed with asses.
Of course.
And he tries to grab their, I'm going to call, despite them being a little brother, so far as they have revealed, I'm going to call them. Because gender, question mark? Anyway,
what is the gender?
Ass man grabs their pants and strips them, and they're not wearing boxers, they're wearing panties. And then in the next episode, it's a D&D episode, and they're just like, huh, I could play a girl. And it's just like, wow, this is like Babby's first gender non-conforming. And
oh my gosh.
I hate it, but also, like, in between all the dumb bullshit is some of, like, and most of the dumb bullshit, really, because it's just like, okay, this dude's a light novelist, and he has light novelist friends, and one of them is a girl who really likes him and wants his dick and literally says so constantly. But also there's... between all the harem bullshit, there's really, like, really harsh looks at the industry. Like, there's an episode where his male friend, I fucking forget his name. Haruto. That's it. One of his series gets an anime, and he's kind of nervous about it, so they have a first episode viewing party, and it turns out it's shit. And Twitter, like, there's just a scene where it's like 2 minutes of panning shots of the room that they're sitting in with clips from this really shitty adaptation of his work playing in the background, and a Twitter feed slowly filling the screen with all this like simulated like live tweet hashtag surfing stuff. And oh, it's just God. Like the most brutal fucking thing in the goddamn show, and it's fucking incredibly stark compared to literally everything else. Like the short lolly blonde tax attorney or like accountant showing up and grilling him on why he bought a bunch of fucking Aerogain shit. And that's a different episode. And then she like fucking that character is the best, because she's just like, she shows up, just goes, why'd you buy this scat fetish game? To his face. And he has to sit there and go, because it has the little sister in it. And that's like an entire episode of him just getting dunked on for being a weirdo. And she just shows back up for like a different party that they're having. And she's just part of the gang now, because this show is stupid. And then there's stuff like, oh, like the girl who wants his dick goes like continually confesses to him, and he keeps turning her down, and basically he tells his other female friend that basically he feels bad that he influenced her writing it all, because she's so much better at writing than him, and he feels legit guilty for being a role model for such a better person than he is. It's just like really, really too real shit in among all the other shit that needs to happen to make this anime an anime and not just a blog post. It's such fucking mood whiplash, and I can never tell which mood it's going to be, and I want it to be the one I can't actually stand. Because it's just like, God, this is fucking depressing.
What is this doing in the Little Sister Show?
I don't know. And also why is this a Little Sister Show? Because he has a little brother. Why is this in question? Please. Oh, I hate anime. The other show I'm watching is, let me find the English translation of this title, so I can give it the fucking the majesty it deserves. My girlfriend is a faithful virgin bitch. Which I still think would have been better if they went with my girlfriend is a chaste slut or something along those lines.
Oh my god.
Which I think is also bad, but the show is dumb and I love it, and it has I think Dura reacted to a tweet I made with a picture from this fucking show. I will find this tweet because I need to show you this screen cap.
And while you find this tweet, what I'm going to say is, courtesy of a friend, do you ever think about how you have an above average amount of legs?
No.
I mean, I imagine the average is 1.9 repeating, but that's not 2.
Yeah. I mean, there would need to be a statistically huge amount of people with 3 legs in order to raise the average to 2. Fucking, oh god damn it.
But do you ever think about it?
No. Let's see if I can find this tweet this way. I was relying on replies and...
I'm very distracting.
That's fine.
I wouldn't be laughing if I said it, if it wasn't intentional.
Come on, load, you stupid fucking... Oh, man. So, I'm going to send you this tweet.
Here we go. Jesus fucking Christ. What is this shit?
Look at the tweet it's replying to. Because there's... the subtitle does not assist. This show is so dumb. I love it.
And yeah, Dora has the best reply here, which is, I'm not sure what to do with these screen caps.
Also,
whose baby is this?
Also, this show had a reference to a meme that I don't think happened on English Twitter, but like there was this, I don't fucking have retweets on my timeline, so I wouldn't know actually, but like there was this dude who was showing how you make, how you like grill meat on a barbecue or like a grill, and he did this really flamboyant flick of like salt.
Oh yeah, that shit.
Yeah, like literally.
That was from the beginning of this year.
Yeah, no, that happened. And also, it made it into this fucking show. I definitely saved the screen cap, but I didn't tweet it.
Here's a word for anime producers. Please don't put memes in your show. Especially in the fast-moving meme era of, like, the 2010s. Because, like, this meme died 8 months ago. Wait, it's almost December. Jesus fucking Christ.
He did the thing. With
is that dick shaped?
Yes, this is the flamboyant.
I'm
questioning.
Walking away for a hot second.
No, you have to come back and look. Why? At the fact that it's Salt Bae branded salt, because that's the fucking meme.
Okay, I'm back.
Look at that shit. Look at the brand of salt. This is what we're working with. This
anime's canceled. This reads Salt Bae.
Yes, it
and
does.
Here's the thing. Okay. Just because that's what my partners call me doesn't mean doesn't mean it belongs in an anime.
God. The thing is, we're very salty right now, so it's appropriate.
It's appropriate. I live my life by the credo of saltier than the deepest sea and the average League of Legends game.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just typed the letter B in there. I just did. But... Anyway,
yeah, that's a thing. More characters have been introduced since then, including this redheaded dude who looks like he belongs in a yaoi manga and acts like it, too.
Oh my god.
It's an anime.
It's an anime, alright.
Yeah, that's all I'm watching.
So, I have two other shows I'm watching. One of which you're definitely not going to watch because it's Classical Light 2.
Yeah.
It's just as goofy as the first season.
Oh my fucking god, this hold one... on. I forgot. I need to make a point of this fucking... This nurse has a face. This is her permanent face. She has those permanent eyebrows. And she has the cat 3 face. So she's always making that face. It's the best and the worst. I love it so much.
Does she just look permanently horny?
She is permanently horny.
Oh my god. I expected as much with this show.
Also, I have to show this off. Yes. Let me crop this correctly.
Oh gosh. I'm not editing any. Jesus fucking Christ, this show. This show is so horny.
Yeah, like, this show is...
being horny on main, and I am banning it.
Fucking, I had another fucking tweet I had, but, like, there's a gag where they find a dog belonging to one of the characters. The female lead throws the ball. He goes and fetches it. Protag throws the ball. He comes back with a fucking ball gag. I hate this show, and also I love this show.
God, God, God.
Like, it's in the downtime between jokes, it is fine, and when it's trying to make jokes, it turns into Seto Kai Yakuin Domo, except with more anime designs.
Oh my God. Horny. In the complete opposite of horny, Classical Light 2. This show sure has Richard Wagner being a bratty child, and Dvorak is a hippo whose music stand is basically a space train. Look, I watch Classical Light for the plot and the mature themes.
I read Classical Light for the articles, I swear.
Yeah, exactly. And not just because I can say that I watched an anime where Mozart wears Heelys and does kick flips on a skateboard.
Jesus.
You gotta kick flip in Heelys. And the last show I'm watching this season so far, in terms of stuff I'm catching up on, is Girls Last Tour. I'm watching all the fucking heavy shit this season. What the fuck, man?
It's a mystery. I'm just rewatching Kimi no Tarake, so...
Good. Good.
And good. Crying like every three episodes because I'm a baby.
It's also cute as fuck.
By the way, I should mention I fucking bawled my eyes out at the end of Real Life again.
It is fucking too good. Goddamn it. It is very, very good.
I almost teared up again when I was recalling Chizuru's last fucking line, and I... I'm weak. I'm weak, and it hit my weak spot.
Alright. So, Girls Last Tour. Imagine humanity is dead. Except for two people. Who were trained for combat, but... they really didn't want to be in combat, and now they're just exploring the ruined remnants of the world, trying to basically just find fuel and food and enjoy each other's company. But like, so I'm only two episodes into this, and it's so far like shockingly like well executed. It kind of looks like butt at points because all the vehicles are CG. And they drive around this, like, very, very obviously CG, like, camper of sorts. Or, like, Jeep thing. I don't know vehicles. I don't have a driver's license. But, it also comes with the most moe character designs of the season. Because it is Whiteface McWhitehuge. It is copying from the Hidamari sketch book of character designs.
Oh, that's what I've been seeing around then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Where it looks like two girls in army uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Girls Last Tour. It's got moments of like really nice tension and melancholy interspersed with some like just genuine human interaction. And it's just like it's pleasant without feeling like that it's trying to ignore the world around it. It's non-escapist Yashke, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I'll see how it goes.
Good luck.
Thank you. I have so many other shows to catch up on. Let's not watch DAC Ray.
Yeah, nah.
But
that's like a hard pass on that forever.
Exactly. But with what was I just saying? I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah. That seems about it.
Yeah. We still don't know what we're going to do for your next episode, so I'm going to like make a straw poll based off of, hey Devin.
Hmm.
Give what? Me something on your want to watch list. Or
I don't have one of those. Because I just do it.
Because you do just do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to grab something off of mine.
Who the fuck is calling me? Okay, that's a phone number that starts with 666. Who the fuck?
Nice.
I'm Satan. Now, goodbye.
I can't wait. Can't wait to be Satan. Looking at my list.
Also, I need to change my fucking ringtone because that version of the fucking Danganronpa music doesn't sound good, and I have a version that sounds better because I trimmed it and chopped it and screwed it into like 45 seconds that sounds pretty cool and ramps up alright.
Ah, gotcha.
The good thing about electronic music is it's very easy to just find the beat and then trim things very precisely in Audacity.
Yes. Don't I know that? But with regards to stuff to watch, actually, why I put this up to a poll? We have two options: Wreck and Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch more stuff from the writer of Recreators?
That's a tough question, honestly, because I mainly like Recreators because of like its conceit more than its writing specifically.
Right. I mean, like structure-wise, Recreators is actually kind of a mess, but mm-hmm. I still loved it. With that being said, there's also Wreck, which is from the director of Serial Experiments Lane.
Fun.
And it's a rom-com from Shaft.
That's my opinion on Shaft. Anything? Like, I've evolved my opinions on Shaft, and it's a vomit noise for 13 episodes.
Okie doke.
sorry.
No worries. I'm looking at. I'm sorting things by. Oh yeah, I should update my list because like, I sorted this to movies because this is a good time of year that we could probably watch a few movies instead of a TV show.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point to do. Problem being I don't have input on movies really, so I like, if you want to suggest some stuff, I'm game, but like my absolutely. My anime movies suggestions would be Time of Eve.
Time of Eve is very good. I would be down to revisit that if I can grab the movie version. There's also like, there's a lot of... Did you know there's a lot of anime movies? Did you know?
Fucking shocker, that.
What a fucking twist. There's one that's, like, good for action fare that I think got re-released recently. Sword of the Stranger.
Oh. I'm not, like... I don't know. I think if my awareness of Sword of the Stranger is aware enough, I don't think that seemed like the sort of thing I would watch at all.
This is true. Because, like, there's plenty of things we could completely do. But we could also decide this tomorrow, when we're not so tired.
I mean,
And not while we're recording.
Yeah, we can at least stop recording.
Yeah. So, overall, we've watched some pretty good stuff recently. So if you like our opinions on things, you should check out what we've checked out. And thank you again for listening to Lacking Any Respect. You can subscribe to this show on Google Play and iTunes now, which is amazing.
Wild.
Yeah, this is the first time we've recorded since that happened.
Jesus. Okay, I'm dying because of anime recommendations.
Okay, give us a few more.
No, just this one. If you like Kyoka, then you might like Just Because.
Oh my god. Let me see. Blog. I'm going on to my anime list right now. I'm keeping this in the recording.
Latest anime recommendations.
Okay, so here's top. Let's see. Latest anime recommendation.
If you liked Mahoka, you might like fucking Welcome to the Elite Classroom. Oh, I'm dying.
Oh no. If you liked.
Oh no. Ugh. If you like Kimi no Todoke, then you might like Tsukite Inayo.
Oh, no.
The reason listed is so similar, it's like they copied it. I like both. Smiley face. I'm very sorry for your taste. Oh, say I love you is the worst. It's so sketchy.
It's one of the sketchiest shoujo romances of recent years. If you like Attack on Titan, you might like Assassination Classroom. Both Ansatsu Kyoshitsu and Shingeki no Kyojin about assassination of monsters.
Good.
That's sure. If you liked
what? If you liked Parasite, you might like the Iron Cabinary, whatever the fuck.
Cabinary of the Iron Fortress?
Yeah. For fucking Parasite? If you liked Attack on Titan, you might like Parasite. What the fuck? That's some bullshit.
If you liked Akiba's Trip, the animation, you might like Anime Gataris.
I don't have an opinion on that. I just know, like, I keep seeing Funimation posting, like, oh, this is talking about the industry, and I don't fucking trust Funimation to know shit about the industry.
Anime Gatsuris is a currently airing show, which I've heard some good things about. It's basically like Gamers from last season, except about anime fans and taking out the romance bullshit. And instead is like, here's fans actually just, like, being multiple kinds of fans in a non-super fanservice-y way.
Okay, here's the most on point fucking recommendation I've seen so far. If you like Shuffle, then you might like Rosario to Vampire. Here's the reason why. Girls with outrageous hair colors competing for a dude's affections. A whole lot of panties, a whole lot of hooters. Thank you, Mr.
How eloquent.
Mr. Rando. Holy shit.
Is that his name?
No. It's a fucking JoJo thing.
Ah, gotcha. Oh, here. I just scrolled past it. Yeah, we're not going to dox somebody on air.
Yeah. If you liked Real Life, then you might like MMO Addict. Yes. A very similar classical romance anime with a modern and cute MMO twist about working adults that aren't entirely content with their lives. Like with Netju, which is the MMO Addict original name. These adults take on different phases of a new life, in this case a program that turns them into high schoolers again, and stumble into romance along the way through a lot of coincidence. They then have to figure out how to make a relationship work despite all these hurdles and help each other grow as individuals. Both are rather stereotypical and cliched setups, but are pretty well executed and always left me smiling at the end of every episode. I'm good at talking.
That's a very good analysis. I have a very good one too, and it's my last one. If you liked Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, then you might like Sankareya. Main characters are trying to resurrect their loved ones. That's fucking, it.
Of course.
Thank you again for listening to Lacking Any Respect. Google Play, iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, rate us, give me your money.
I've been Devin. You can find me on Twitter at InvisiFool.
Yeah, and you can also find Devin doing Dead Genre Chronicles with some fantastic co-hosts. Oh my fucking god. What are you playing this month?
We are playing Lunar Silver Star Story.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. I think that's all I really need to say. We're going to have some time. Yeah.
That's going to be a time. You can find me on Twitter at FuzzyProxy. You can also find me nowhere else, really. I'm not guesting on any podcasts. I'm too busy dying under workload. Help.
Please. I got an actual job, and I have to beat like most of Lunar this week before Saturday. I think also Becky is similarly behind, maybe even more so. She has like an actual human job with respect attached, which is not the case to me right now.
I mean, I also work a human job with no respect attached.
Yeah, but like you're not gonna try and cram a 25 to 30 hour game in the next 4 days.
Watch me.
You're not going to.
No, I'm not going to. That's because my work, well, like my time awake before work and my time awake after work, to cram a 20 something hour game into 4 days, I would have to literally cut the amount I sleep like down by a few hours.
Yeah. It's fine. Now I'm getting yawning.
We should halt this recording and go to bed.
I'm gonna go eat dinner. Don't be silly. I have fajitas waiting for me.
Yeah, it is time o'clock there for you, and it is time o'clock 3 hours later here for me. So thanks again for listening, friends.
Good night, everyone. Goodbye.